Twitch is currently testing a feature that could allow any streamer, or at least more of them, to centrally collect donations that are sent directly to a charity of that streamer's choosing, instead of pooling donations into a streamer's personal control and taking their word that they're doing the right thing. With mass appeal and application also comes more opportunities for mass or targeted scamming. This episode is not raising funds for charity. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about this story and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 923 of our show for tonight, July the 24th of 2022. After being unexpectedly off last week, I had COVID. It's just that simple. I tested positive Sunday morning, and it was the faintest of faint line. In fact, it was that whole thing where I sent it to a friend, and my friend was like, oh, I've done this with pregnancy tests. You play with the contrast and the lighting, and you can see when you do that that there's a line there. And I was like, great. So, and then the exhaustion really started to take its toll. And yeah, so womp womp. It finally got me after 2.5 years, but I'm feeling marginally better as of yesterday. So I am back. So I'm happy to be back, and I'm back with my co-host. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I may have a sinus infection.
Well, that's sucks.
But those aren't contagious.
No, they're not contagious. That's the good thing. So,
and we have a lot of activity in my house. You know, we're converting our garage.
Yeah, because you got you got the car that was in there. You had a classic car in there, and you got that out because you're going to allow that to be the second half of your pinball expansion now, right?
Well, no, it is where all the pinballs have been moved to, all but three. So everything's outside. Dan got black and gray carpet tiles that honestly aren't that great, but they look good. Okay. And made the Space Invader.
Oh, that's clever. Okay.
And the walls are black with blue LED strips going around the room, and you've mounted a TV, and we've got all the rest of the pins out there, of course, except for Black Knight, World Cup, and Theater of Magic. Oh, okay. And we have a living room again. with couch and chairs that we got at Lazy Boy.
Yeah, if you all had seen Jamie's house before, there was pinball machines out back. There was pinball machines in a secondary bedroom. There was pinball machines in the living room.
Everywhere a pinball.
But it was like any gamer nerd, you know, even if you're only just like a casual pinball enjoyer, you'd be like, wow, this is rad. So.
And I've invented a new term.
Hmm.
Dust kittens.
Oh, is that what was growing behind your pinball tables?
It's what happens when you have a cat and dust.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have dust bunnies. You have dust kittens.
Oh, yeah. No, that was living in my old computer for sure.
I swept up another cat.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but that's what's been going on in my house. And now we can actually sit on a couch and watch a TV and play a game or thing.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, also,
I feel like an adult again.
Also, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi. I hope you enjoyed the spontaneous week off.
Sure.
Were you able to get in more Minecraft? Because I saw you pushed a Minecraft video this week. So I was like, oh, maybe Loki had time to edit another video.
Well, no, I did that this week. Yeah. But not last weekend. Last weekend was probably just messing around with something. I don't remember.
Gotcha. I see tonight, I was going to add, you know, it's always, because we do tape live at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, which, by the way, happy birthday, Bobby Blackwolf, a young 17 years old, the show, not the host. The show is 17 years old as of tonight. So, you know, and as I tell Bobby every year, happy birthday. Always
He's
a pleasure.
A spry 29.
Yes, always a pleasure to share the stage with you on Sunday nights, but respect your elders. All right. So of course, as we do tape live on Twitch, I'm sorry the podcast feed can't see our lovely faces, but you can see if you subscribe over at Vogue Network with like your free Amazon Prime subscription or whatever, you can access the video archives and watch whatever episodes you want. But the Loki always has a video of a game playing behind him, and tonight I recognize this one as a game everyone's talking about this week. This is Stray, is it not, or is it some predecessor cat game?
I occasionally like to showcase games that I've purchased and yet will have no time to play. So this is my latest purchase that I will not have time to play. Eventually we'll get there.
Okay, that sounds good. But it's very popular in streaming right now. A lot of my favorite Dead by Daylight streamers have taken it's interesting because now they're getting sidetracked with all these other games. Some of them are playing a Video Horror Society, which was called VHS for short. I don't know why
because VHS has already been taken by another game.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
They put that up on their Twitter.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right. So now they have Video Horror Society, which obviously everybody's still calling it VHS for short. Yeah. I see that one a lot. I see, there was another scary game that came out recently that everybody was doing for a hot minute, and now Stray. Now they're all doing Stray. So
everyone was doing Elden Ring for a minute, and then everyone was doing The Quarry.
The Quarry, yeah. That, of course, that's the horror game I was trying to think of. Everybody did The Quarry for a week.
Was great.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's Stray. But Stray looks really fun. I don't know how I feel about the stealth mechanics, but the physics and the way that they've done the cat and everything is really, like, it's really adorable. I want to pick it up. I'm just not sure if I should get it on PlayStation or if I should get it on PC, because you've seen these mods.
It runs better on PlayStation.
Oh, okay. Okay. But you've seen the mods on PC, right? People were posting about that to our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. People will post, you know, inspirational topics for the night. And somebody was asking, when are we going to get a Mr. Smush mod? Well, number one, I don't do 3D graphics, that fancy stuff. So somebody has to do it for me. But I wouldn't complain if someone did. But don't forget Cheddar. Can we have an A-B switch or something? And while you're at it, you might as well do Minda and our classic OLR cats of the past, too. So, you know, Sanrio.
You just need to put Shermie in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. So might as well get them all.
Shermie was not agile in her later years.
How long until we get someone modding a dog in instead?
That's blasphemy.
I'm literally hearing Cheddar in here, like, as I'm talking about him, but I'm looking behind me and I don't see him. I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, did Loki turn the volume up on that video somehow? What is that?
No. It's cats in the wall.
Yeah, I guess so. My gosh.
He's found his way into the wall.
Well, it's not uncommon for him to yell loudly in Alan's office, which is on the other side of the wall. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about our kickoff topic tonight, which really, in kind of looking through the news, I didn't see any stories that were gigantic stories. So I thought we could start tonight by kind of recapping some of the news from last week, because there was quite a bit of news last week. By the way, hello to our live Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Mike Deft in chat talking about me being out with COVID, saying, yeah, it eventually caught up to all of us. Not everyone's had it yet, but it's making the rounds. But good thing that vaccines are a thing. Yeah, obviously I had the double vax and the single boost. I didn't qualify for the double boost. I probably should have just got it anyway, but I'm trying to be a good boy and look how that treated me.
Yeah, my wife keeps bugging me about that.
Yeah, but my booster was all the way back in November, right? But anyway, yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was, but it hits, and I'm not trying to belittle it. I'm just saying, probably because of vaccines and the fact that, because I've made it no secret on this show, I have diabetes. So because of that, I qualified for Paxlovid, even though I'm in my 40s and not over 65. Like we all know President Biden got COVID as well, and he went on Paxlovid because of his age. So I qualified for Paxlovid because of diabetes, and I think that was probably part of what was holding off my symptoms, because the treatment cycle finished. So you're on Paxlovid for 5 days. That finished yesterday morning, was my last dose. Now tonight, I'm starting to feel a little bit of congestion again. Like, I'm going to try to push through best I can, but if I call it, you'll all know why. I feel like this could have been a lot worse. Well, when I had swine flu years ago, and that was far worse, but I didn't have a vaccine for swine flu. So anyway, Dijarama S says, did you drink any Pedialyte as well? Gatorade Zero and vitamin water, like similar stuff. So I have to make sure it's not too sugary because I can't drink regular Gatorade, but I can drink Gatorade Zero. So I will do that. So let's see, also some folks talking about Stray, but with a dog. Tiger Claw says, well, if they want to make a sequel with a dog, dog gameplay would be more frantic though. I guess
they've already put CJ from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas in it. So anything's possible now.
Oh gosh. I saw you just link that in our chat room. That's funny. Yeah. Mike Def says, I'm glad it was pretty much like a cold when I went through it. Yeah. For me, it was fatigue. Like I did not, it was interesting because people were giving me advice on, oh yeah, you get a sore throat and this, you know, make sure you have lozenges. I never had really a sore throat. I had a throat tickle, but not a sore throat. Fatigue was the huge thing. Like I felt like I permanently had taken a Tylenol PM. And just even the point where like holding up my phone to text people, like my arms would get sore and I'd be like, I just want to put them down on the bed and go back to sleep. So that's what it was for me.
It's horrible. That mod not only changes the model to make the cat look like CJ, but it makes all the cats like human, like someone stretched a cat skin onto a person. It's just, what? It's so wrong.
That's a little creepy. All right. I thought for our kickoff topic tonight, we could recap some of the news from last week and some of the big headlines that we missed because we were unexpectedly off. We'd originally planned to do a show, but it didn't happen. So some of the big headlines from last week, Bayonetta 3 finally got a launch date, and it is this year, which is pretty exciting. It's going to be launching on October 28th. Which is a little sooner, I think, maybe than some folks had anticipated. Y'all excited about Bayonetta 3 coming out in October, just in time for Halloween?
If it's even more over the top, yes.
Yeah, let's hope. I wonder if this isn't going to be the last one, you know, and that's not, you know, I think the Bayonetta games are great. I hope it's not the last one, but you know, a lot of things run in trilogies, right? It very well could be the last one, so we'll see. We'll see. It took them a while to make this one, too. They're going to be putting out a physical Switch edition of Bayonetta 1, sort of to couple with that. There was a digital version of Bayonetta 1 already available if you bought Bayonetta 2, but it was, you would have Bayonetta 2 on the cart and the Bayonetta 1 digital. So a physical Switch edition for the collectors is coming later this year. But it's currently undated. A new multiplayer Kirby game was announced. Kirby's Dream Buffet is coming out. So that's kind of neat.
You mean like every dream I ever have?
Yeah, is a Kirby Dream Buffet?
Yeah, pretty much.
If I were Kirby, Dark Sakura, and I inhaled your dream, what power would I get?
You don't want to know. You do not want to know. Especially with the weird ass nightmares I've been having lately.
So anyway, it's food based obstacle courses. You collect strawberries as Kirby grows, and then you fight on a floating platform. It seems a little Fall Guys to me, maybe like just a little, like not just, but it seems like maybe a little bit Fall Guys to me. But yeah, I'm sure especially Mike Deft is going to be excited to hear that there's another Kirby game. So there you go. Mike Deft in chat says, fuck the haters who say it's too soon for another Kirby game. You know what? How about Mario? Like, there's always going to be side adventures and things like that. Kirby's just, you know, one of the Nintendo mascots now. So there is that. An article was also going around that Nintendo Japan does recognize the same-sex marriages of their employees despite Japanese law. So just a lot of people tipping their hat and saying kudos to Nintendo Japan for recognizing that. Again, this is all the news from last week that we weren't able to get to while we were out. One that had people talking quite a bit, especially in our Discord, there was a lot of chat about this, and that was the fact that Nintendo acquired a CG animation studio, Dynamo Pictures, and they're going to be rebranding themselves as Nintendo Pictures. This deal will be finalized on October 3rd, and then Dynamo Pictures in Nintendo's statement will be, quote, focus on development of visual content utilizing Nintendo IP. Now, this has a lot of people kind of going, oh, well, is this because they're making a Mario movie with, I think it's what, Imagination, the people that do the Minion movies are making the Mario movie, and Nintendo wants to branch out and do their own movies and more. I don't think it's really that, because if you look at Dynamo Pictures' resume, They've already worked on some things, such as Pikmin short movies, Metroid Other M post-production, Monster Hunter World motion capture, and Death. They actually did work on Death Stranding, which isn't Nintendo, but, you know, and so on and so on. It does. They're not really in the business of making feature length films, and there is quite a difference. However, I think this probably lends itself to that there is probably some games that Nintendo is working on for the Switch that we don't know about yet, where they want to do some epic cutscenes. And perhaps that is a Mario game. Perhaps. But this could be something else as well.
Zelda game.
It very well could be a Zelda game. But they're already doing it for a Metroid game. Maybe another Metroid game. We know Metroid Prime 4 is a thing, right? Maybe they are being contracted to work on some more cutscenes for that. So I kind of think it's for more in-house development for the games. And I wouldn't forecast that suddenly Nintendo wants to get into movies. I'm pretty sure their agreement, whatever they have with Illumination, probably would get in the way of that anyway. But I mean, never say never. They could always expand and hire more people and do new things. But I think whatever they do is probably going to be limited to Nintendo's platform. You know what they could do? If you want to hear my like tinfoil hat theory, and who doesn't love to hear a Rob Roberts tinfoil hat theory? You all ready? What they could do is maybe trying to create some short movie content. And I mean shorts. And I mean, think about on the 3DS system when you could download countless episodes of Dinosaur Office on the 3DS shop. But what if there were maybe short movies? I'm not talking about Dinosaur Office, but maybe something with like Pikmin, I don't know, or one of the other cute Nintendo franchises, where they could give away episodes on Nintendo Switch Online with expansion pack, and maybe creating kid-friendly programming like Nintendo Flicks, basically. Not something, and I don't want you guys to think big picture with that. I'm not saying Nintendo's going to launch a Netflix competitor, but I'm saying what if kind of in their own little bubble, just their own little like short amount of, you know, trickled content. That, I think, would be the tinfoil idea for me. Is not a feature-length movie, but maybe creating a variety of shorts for distribution on Nintendo's platform. And Tiger Claw in chat says they've done that before. Remember the animated short for Star Fox Zero? Yes. So I could see something like that being a thing. So don't think Nintendo movie, because they've got the partnership with Illumination for that. And if it's, you know, if many people are reading into the fact that the Mario movie is simply seeding a Donkey Kong movie and a Nintendo multiverse at some point based on what's happening at the theme parks, you can bet that Illumination is probably doing the Donkey Kong movie as well. So this is going to be for something different. It's probably for the games, but it could be like, not even the Switch. I would say the Switch's successor and building up some type of library of content for that.
What about their theme park or something like that? They could be doing animation for a ride or something.
I feel like since Universal licensed it from Nintendo, Universal would ultimately be responsible for that, and they would probably leverage Illumination to do it.
I don't know. We'll just see what they do and then be disappointed by it.
Sounds good. All right.
Well, let's just think about what was the key thing in animation 10 years ago, and then that's probably what they're doing.
VR.
Oh, they're getting into the VR. There we go. Yeah. There we go. VR 3D movies or 3D TVs.
That's 3D movies. 3D movies and 3D TVs. That's what it is. Although, to be fair, Loki, Nintendo actually was on the edge of that because
that
of the 3DS.
True. Yes,
so,
yes, until they stopped.
Those movie carts never came out. Remember when we saw Tron Legacy on a Nintendo 3DS and then it never actually came out?
Yeah, they didn't have very many movies. The only one I remember was the Tekken animated movie was in 3D.
Yeah, I remember when they were showing off like major motion pictures on those cartridges, and for whatever reason,
it was up there with UHD. It was,
HD DVD? Is that what you're thinking of?
No, you're thinking too big. God, I don't remember what Sony used to call their stupid PSP discs.
The UMDs, says PodCulture
UMDs,
chat.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. UMDs. Yeah, it was on the cusp of the UMDs. You know, they were going to tackle that market like they did with Game Boy Video. or Game Boy Advance video.
Hey, Game Boy
Advance. Actually, those are really popular.
I was going to say, you joke, but you could get, you know, a Pokemon episode or two or a Nickelodeon cartoon crammed into a Game Boy cart, and you could shut your kid up for a ride to the grocery store. So it's something. All right. That's so funny. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I still have the Green Lantern trailer in 3D on my 3DS. I wonder, what are y'all holding on your DS that you're never going to delete? Like, I'm so curious. Anyway.
I think I gave my old DS to Julian.
If my battery hadn't died, I'd probably still have the Meteos E3 demo on my DS. All right. Anyway, moving on to some other headlines we missed last week. PlayStation is going to be launching a loyalty program. It's called PlayStation Stars, and you will get rewards by doing different things within PlayStation. It really sounds like a version of Microsoft Points, which, you know, Microsoft's been leveraging for some time. But PlayStation will be doing this with their own system. And maybe if you are the first person to unlock a platinum trophy, you might get some extra stars for that. You get some loyalty points, which will redeem in a catalog. And again, you might be able to actually just fund your PlayStation Plus account with that. So it might be a good way to kind of help pay for itself. There were some early rumors that this was going to be NFTs. And in an interview with the Washington Post, Sony Interactive Entertainment advertising VP Grace Chen went on record and said, it's definitely not NFTs. Definitely not. You can't trade them or sell them. It's not leveraging any blockchain technologies. Not NFTs. Very, very, very clear, very explicit statement from Sony on that. So, but I don't know who thought that was NFTs. It just, again, it just sounds like Microsoft's program, but remodeled for Sony. Anyway, this was what I was really hoping to talk to Dark Sakura about last week until COVID got me. There is a Genesis Mini 2 that has been confirmed for release in the U.S. on October 27th. And they've got some bangers in here. They've got Mega CD this time, including Final Fight CD, Lunar, Eternal Blue, and Lunar the Silver Star. They've got Alien Soldier, Spatter, Tatsujin, Super Street Fighter 2, the new Challengers. Like, this is a very neat little console. And I was thinking of and of course, I was like, well, Darkstalker's probably going to be like, I already have all of these. But then
I do have most of them, but I'll be honest.
Still, the charm is going to be hard to resist.
No. I Dan and I did get the other one. Mm-hmm. So this one could also happen. We'll see.
Yeah. Many folks in chat speaking up on that one. Dark TCSA and Sega CD stuff. Digirama S says Lunar alone is worth the price. And SHO 100 Matt says, oh, yes, the Genesis Mini 2 is going to be day one for many of us here. Yes, yes. Oh, by the way, speaking of 3DS titles you're never going to delete, a great answer from our voiceover man, VX Jason XV, who says, I'm holding on to Theatrhythm because it's fun. Curtain Call, naturally, so much better than the original. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, hold that thought because we have another kind of related-ish story a little later in the show. Just hold that thought. Anyway, some other news from last week. Let's see. This is not good. Data leaked out of Bandai Namco because there was a ransomware attack with that. Whoops. Konami, though, apparently going to be relisting Metal Gear titles that had previously delisted. Did you all remember that Metal Gear titles got delisted?
Yeah.
I think most people forgot. But I do remember when it happened. And then in the Arcade Archive series, Dragon Saber came out from Namco. So that came out as well. And then a game that Loki has talked about on this show previously, Fashion Police Squad, gets its official release August 15th on the PC, but later on consoles. Hey, it looked kind of fun. I was very curious about that one, so I wanted to try that.
There's a demo if you want to check it out.
Oh, that's great. Bobby in chat says that was the Metal Gear delisting due to the archive historical footage. Yes, that was it really was like a year ago at this point. It really feels like. So it's interesting that now you're coming back. All right. Loki, did you see anything you wanted to touch on that I missed or Dark Sakura?
I don't remember if it was last week or whatever about Ubisoft delisting a bunch of their titles that they're still selling for like they were like. This was during the Steam sale. They were like selling a bunch of their Assassin's Creed, Far Cry 3.
That was last week.
That was being delisted off of their So basically that you wouldn't be able to, if you bought the game, you can't download it again and you can't access the DLC, which is really irritating. Yeah. And a lot of these games are single player games, and the fact that you can't get the DLC for it and stuff, it's just really annoying. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely saw the social media updates on all that last week. Didn't look
good. I don't understand why they couldn't just, like, you know, just put it out for free. Like, you're delisting them anyways. Just say, okay, for this, like, few weeks, we're going to make it free. Like, those games, they're super old anyways. Like, just offer that all for free so everybody can download it. And then you'd get a bunch of goodwill. And then people would, you know, then remember, like, oh, hey, thank you for all those free games, Ubisoft. But have you addressed these, you know, sexual misconduct of your employees at your company? And they'd say, no, of course not. Why would we have done that?
Have you held Iskuma accountable yet for anything?
Exactly. So, you know.
We will when the other company is. Yeah.
Dr. Suya says, I know they've given away AC games before. So, yeah, I guess. Speaking of giving away games, I don't think it's on our show roll tonight, but did you see, like, Anthem at GameStop you can get for a penny now?
What?
Yeah, you can get Anthem at GameStop for a penny now. I mean, they've given away this game so many different ways. Like, it's on Game Pass.
I thought it was free to play. It's not free to play.
I think, but you could get a retail version of it, though, for a penny if you want. So it's, yeah, the glory days of Anthem never happened. Anyway,
pretty much. And how many of us were like, how many of us told them so?
Yeah, I know.
I was thinking, I'm sorry. Well, for some reason, when I was thinking Anthem, I was thinking the, there's the other game, not Anthem. Gosh, I can see the game, but I can't think of the game. Not Destiny, no.
Mass Effect.
The one by the Titanfall devs. I can't remember what it's called. Apex Legends. I was thinking Apex when you said Anthem. You know, both start with an A. So
yeah, Apex really
essentially
is
essentially the same. No. Oh yeah, Anthem. Yeah, Anthem for a penny. No.
Mike Dev says if it comes with a box, that's a good way to get replacement cases for other better games.
That is true.
Good tip. Hot
what's
tip.
What's the trade-in value on that?
Like, comment, subscribe for more tips. All right.
What can I trade that in for at GameStop?
I bet it's probably only a penny if it's the one that's just the game in the little paper envelope. I bet if they actually have a box, it's probably 99 cents. All right, let's talk about what games we have been playing this week that probably aren't Anthem. Let's talk about some other games we've been playing this week in a segment we call, appropriately, How Was Your Gaming Week? Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
I have played Final Fantasy VI, and, well, I'm still playing Survivor.
I don't think I've seen you play Killer in a week. I was really in and out of it this week, so I
played Killer a week and a half ago, and it ended up being like an LOL game because I was just trying to get a doctor achievement done, and I made friends again.
Oh, that's cool.
But I don't know what it is, but like I can have full and as you know in Survivor thing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact that I've played all Killer for so long, but. Even if I can't make friends with the killer, you know, like in game, I can at least have a moment of communication with them and see if they will try to be friends. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's silly. It's all silliness. But I've been enjoying myself, and Finara has been not only my, my meat shield, but also now, my accountant. Because she's keeping track of my what's it called, the tome stuff achievements. And I've really appreciated that. Although Stadia Hunters is kind of weird because that's where Stadia achievements go, and I need to just find like a straight up list that I can put on a spreadsheet myself so that it's easier for me to track. But I did make a couple of accomplishments. I have adapted every Survivor that is adaptable, including freaking Ash.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, the David one was given to me. the Laurie one was given to me. I'm like, bless you, just like the nurse one was back in the day.
Lucky.
And so, you know, there's like the special generators, right? Mm-hmm. Like the one in the asylum and the one in the church and freaking ring light. But I've gotten now all of the special generators done.
Oh, nice. That's great. Yeah, you can. It's probably the exact same list as Steam's achievements. So if you need
there's
like a table.
There's a few that Steam has that this doesn't.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Is it related to the Stranger Things content? Because some of
no,
them changed.
No, not at all.
Oh, weird. Okay.
I mean, it could very well be possible because, I mean, for anyone who got the Stranger Things achievements, they're off your list on Steam.
Oh, interesting.
And they're completely gone from Stadia Hunters, mm-hmm. which is basically where Stadia outputs all of their achievement stuff to. Mm. But I have 151 out of a... Hold on, I've got the number right here. I have 151 out of 196.
Wow.
And as of now, I've played for 717 hours and 59
wow.
minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Still significantly longer than other people, but
maybe 300
shorter
hours,
than
maybe.
A lot of my friends.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. But on the plus side, it is, and like Mike Duff says, I now can play both. But I think that I'm actually a pretty decent Nia player now. And the one thing that restricts me is that my mouse, I have to use a thumb trackball, so I can't look behind me. And I don't like to use a controller because it hurts my wrist after a while. But I have found that every so often, all I have to do is just do that number, spin the ball, and I'll do a perfect 360 on somebody.
That's funny. Dijarama S in chat says, sounds like Jamie logged more hours in DBD than your average Persona 5 player. Yes.
I know people over 3,000 hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Easily. I've been playing for like a year, a little over a year. Mm-hmm. I know people who played since the game freaking came out and played it religiously.
Yeah. Anything else for your game of week?
I played my word game. And, I played like this woodblock puzzle game that I used to play a while back. It's the sort of like... where you have the shapes of blocks and you have to fill them in to fill the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what Tetris was based off of. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit of that just because like I needed to wake up my brain and that's what did it that day.
So, brain training.
Good thing. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Except like more spatial awareness. So yeah.
Gotcha. My game of week, cause of COVID, honestly, didn't do a lot. I was really, really exhausted. And like, I was even too tired to game. Like I watched some people play like DBD on Twitch and stuff, but that was about the extent of it. Now, when we got closer to the weekend, and I was getting my energy back, I did play a little bit of No Man's Sky. I did a stream of that the other night because, they did a new patch. Which I think is story slotted later in the show, so we'll give you the details then. But they did a Twitch Drops campaign to go with it. So I was streaming Friday night, just a new game, just messing around with a new game for some drops. I actually got a good amount of new viewers thanks to that, because people streaming No Man's Sky will raid other people playing No Man's Sky, so the drop trains kind of continue for the people that are lurking in the chat. So, because I did that too. I raided somebody I didn't know. I was streaming until like 2 in the morning on Friday. I never go that late, but I was like, I have a second rush of energy here. So I raided somebody in Australia because I was like, well, nobody that I know is still streaming at this point. That's for sure. But yeah, I was having fun playing No Man's Sky. And then I've been playing a little bit of DBD because of all the changes that went into effect. I've been exploring that a little bit because, you know,
what do you think of the Dead Hard?
Mix things up. I never liked using Dead Hard anyway. Mm-hmm. I realized it was overpowered. I probably should have been. I just never liked it as a perk.
When I adapted David.
I
had it on, but yeah.
I was always a fan of Overcome, Jonah's perk. And that's what a lot of people have either switched to that or Sprint Burst. But I've noticed as Killer, you can really shut Sprint Burst down by running Fearmonger, which causes people to be exhausted when they touch a generator. So
I have seen a big surge in Fearmonger.
Yeah. So, and
although
I
didn't
use
my pig build at all, mm-hmm. and it's still pretty solid. I've also seen a lot more of Gearhead. I've seen more Make Your Choice. Mm-hmm. I've seen, oh, what's the hex people are using? Devour Hope a lot, actually.
Interesting. I haven't seen that one a lot, yeah. But
there's a few interesting videos I watched.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and I've been just watching, you know, some buddy streamers stream that game a little bit and just otherwise kind of haven't been doing a lot. I did get out yesterday and today and I played a little bit of Pokemon Go and I played a little bit of Ingress and the usual stuff that I play out in the, you know, out in real life. I wish I'd thought to ask Shane to call in tonight because he was at Pokemon Go Fest in Seattle. He's on the road home now, I'm pretty sure, but he was not feeling very good on Pokemon Go. I don't remember if he trashed it on this show or if it was a stream of mine where, because, you know, we buddy up a lot when I stream, but he was not feeling it. He uninstalled the game at some point, and suddenly he got back into it and went to Pokemon Go Fest, and he had a lot of great things to say about it, and he said he got 58 shinies across the weekend because,
jeez.
Because of course he did. Of course he did.
It's Shane. Shane is the shiny one.
Yes, yes. His name in the game is literally Shiny Hunter, you know, his name. So it's just funny. So, all right. I'll see. Maybe I can get him to call in later in the show or something. But in the meantime, let's get into some of the news from this week that's been going on. So, Loki, we start tonight with a game that you really love, right?
Yeah. And also, I played Minecraft this week. So,
did I skip your week? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
It's okay. Just Minecraft this week. We did finally hit 500 subscribers, so that's great.
Oh,
YouTube
congrats.
Just finally, a week later, unlocked my community features now, so I can post non-video updates, polls, and all that fun stuff, so I can interact with the community. So yeah, we'll just keep on going.
That's really great. Congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, now let's get into the news. So,
all right, sorry. How did I blame COVID? We'll just blame COVID. That's what I've done all week. Yeah.
Let's talk about everyone's favorite topic, and that is NFTs. So, Mojang came out, I guess, and addressed some of the issues with NFTs, mainly because there's been folks, and we've talked about this in like previous weeks, where they were using Minecraft as like a source of like NFTs. So basically, they were selling skins or they were selling seeds to worlds, which is stupid. I don't know why you would pay for that, but all of that was done by other people. So they basically put out a long statement saying that, listen, our policy on NFTs is that we don't like it and we are not allowing you to make blockchain technologies are not permitted to be integrated inside our Microsoft or a Minecraft client and server applications, nor may they be utilized to create NFTs associated with any in-game content, including world skins, persona items, and other mods. So basically saying, stop it, knock it off. So that's good, at least that they're, you know, behind that.
I didn't realize people were doing that, creating like a house or an art piece in Minecraft.
They're not even like, you know, it's the bare minimum nonsense that they do. Like they'll take a skin and they'll like randomize colors on it and stuff like that and sell it as an NFT. Like we saw that before they were doing that and it was annoying and stupid. Oh,
and this goes back to the point I was saying when we yelled about NFTs earlier, and my message to the crypto bros who are very invested in NFTs and want these to are really pushing these as a new thing. People we know and have worked with in the past really trying to push this NFT thing. And I'm like, you know what? Like, people are not going to buy into NFTs until the rampant thievery and underground BS is stopped. Like, it's always going to be associated with this until something actually legitimate comes around. And like, this doesn't help the fact that there were all these NFTs of the bear that are just Minecraft asset ripoffs. Like, this is a rampant problem in both of the mobile phone stores anyway, is that, you know, Minecraft clones galore that look just like, you know, Minecraft and so forth. And this is just another thing where it's like you barely did the bare minimum and it just reeks of thievery. So I'm sure now, didn't people threaten to go make their own game? Like, oh, then if Minecraft will let us do it, we'll just steal all their assets and make our own game.
I mean, I don't know if they've threatened thievery, but like, yeah, I mean, they've tried to do that with different things.
Congratulations on threatening to do the thing that every other game company has been thinking about since Minecraft got popular.
Like, yeah, so
Think about it. You're threatening to do the thing every other game company wants to do, and that's find Minecraft's lightning in a bottle and apply it. And I would say probably the only thing I can think of that's close is either something like Stardew Valley, which is really, you know, or Terraria, which are both very distanced from Minecraft. They're just, you know, I would say the Dragon Quest builders is probably the closest thing that you can really feel the Minecraft in it that, like, actually kind of works. So VXJ6V in chat says NFTs are 2020 fan character palette swaps. Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Mike Deft in chat says, by the way, did you see that GameStop NFT was selling art that was pretty much taken from a 9/11 photo? Yeah, I saw that. But that's because I'm not defending it, but it's a symptom of, isn't the GameStop NFT marketplace just a free for all eBay type of thing? Like, it's not exactly restrictive, right? Like, nobody is quality checking the shit they're putting up there, right? So of course that happened. Of course, yeah, it did.
It's a mess. But I did want to mention, though, on the flip side of that, another company that is very much into NFTs is Square Enix. And so, of course, Square Enix had put out, they're going to be doing like some Final Fantasy VII NFTs. And despite the fact that, you know, I don't know if people are necessarily happy about that. I would say probably not. There's, I guess, some action figures that they're selling now. It says they're doing action figures and collector cards are going to have NFTs bundled with them. So if you buy them, you're going to get like digital versions of those that will come alongside them.
So they're trying to legitimize it by pairing it with something that people, it's like the movie. What was the movie? Everybody, and you got an NFT when you went and saw the movie. It was Spider-Man or something, right? Like, people, they're trying to sneak NFTs in so that people kind of start building a collection and then they want to make it a thing. But it's like,
Well, here's the thing too. Like, the figure, you can buy the figure for $130, or they have a version that includes the digital copy alongside it for $150. And then that's not even coming out until apparently November 2023.
How about
so, now? So, you know, I don't even know, like, do we know what NFTs are going to be doing in 2023? I mean, like, that could just completely break down by then, or, like, nobody might be interested in that stuff.
At the end of the day, if people want to buy these, then I guess fine. It doesn't really hurt Final Fantasy, but can we just, I'm really only okay with it as long as we can all admit that it's a waste of time. I want us all to admit that this is a waste of time and resources, and then I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, less of a waste of time are some of the updates that are coming to Twitch. Actually, some of this stuff sounds pretty cool that they have coming. So part of this kind of ties into some things that came up on the week we were out because of TwitchCon in Amsterdam happened. So there was that. What happened is that Twitch was looking at testing some charity, or I'm sorry, I think this came out after, I'm not sure what was TwitchCon and what wasn't, but Twitch is going to be integrating some charity fundraising into their platform. Right now, this is only in a US beta, so it's available for certain streamers, but this will allow you to select a charity, set a fundraising goal, and then collect donations within the creator dashboard. So that's kind of neat. So, yeah. And actually, it was funny because Jason and I were talking about this before the show a little bit tonight because he was talking about this in the intro. And I was like, maybe this is a thing we can do on our next like anniversary show or big milestone show, is since we've run out of ideas on how to make those shows special, we'll fundraise. It'll be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Why not? So hopefully if it makes it really easy to do, I think that's going to be great. Now, I know this was announced at TwitchCon because of the reception that it got, is that partners and affiliates are getting the payment threshold lowered. So now you no longer have to make $100 in a month in order to get a check. You only have to make 50. So half as much will actually get you a check. And of course, if you don't raise the money in 1 month, then it rolls over to the next month. But that's cool, you know, because there was a month like here at Vogue, I think we had $96. And so it was like, no check for you, although the check the next month was pretty big. But yeah, for Vogue, we had a month where it was $96. So now, thanks to y'all's generosity, we'll probably get a little fundage in the Vogue bank account, which will be nice. It'll allow us to do more conventions and things like that in the future, which, by the way, I hope you all had fun at Southern Fried Game Expo, which Bobby went to. And we didn't get to talk about that last week because... you know, COVID. But that all happened. And I'm hoping there'll be more conventions. Dragon Con is 6 weeks away. I can't talk about everything I'm doing at Dragon Con yet because we're not allowed to promote that stuff until August when the schedule is final. But I've seen my preliminary schedule and it looks really good. That's all I can say. It looks I will say this. It does look like I'm going to have a ballroom panel this year. Fingers and toes crossed. So those are the big ones. So fingers and toes crossed. So, but Loki, I'm going to need your help. And that's all I'm going to say for now.
All right.
Bobby wants to point out that there is a YouTube video up on the Vogue YouTube channel. So of the speedrunning panel that he did there with an Eternal Enigma was doing Silent Hill, The Room 4. And then Bobby at the end does his own little, he did this on his show, but he does the Zelda Link to the Past 4 minute speedrun trick because he's trying to prove a point that, like, if you want to start speedrunning, here you go. Here's a trick that you can try at home because it even works on the Nintendo Switch Online and all that. So it's a cute panel. So check that out. All right. Let's see. Oh, where was I? Yes, Twitch updates. One other thing I want to talk about as well. Apparently, there is some new safety features that are coming as well, including more customization on who can actually raid you and being able to share a ban list of banned accounts with other streamers. So that's
nice.
Yeah. So this, of course, all in response to the hate raids, which were last year, which I admit, from my perspective, I haven't seen nearly as many of those. I'll see a idiot spam bot once in a while, or maybe a village idiot here or there, but I don't see it. I'm not just saying because I don't see it personally, it doesn't happen, but I'm just saying it does seem like I'm not seeing the buzz about it on Twitter. I'm not seeing the reports about it nearly as much. So it is nice to see that even though it was kind of slow to get here, that some of these features have really helped curb a lot of the hate raid stuff. Yeah, I got raided while playing No Man's Sky, and I didn't realize I had turned on the mandatory verification, so the people who raided me couldn't chat with me for like 5 minutes because they were like, oh, crap, we never verified our accounts. So I guess they were sitting there trying to verify their accounts, and then when they finally did, they were like, hi, sorry, we had to verify our accounts. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I had to turn that on. Like, you know, I'm a gay dude who streams, so unfortunately, you know, one of many targets. Yeah, so... But yeah, so that is something.
I've had that on though since I got hate rated last year.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, let's see. Mike Deft in chat says, "Thank God for the shared ban list. I've been wanting that for years now." Yeah, I'm very interested to see what sort of underground ban list communities end up getting formed because of that. That's going to be very interesting. So, I could almost with certainty say that if you get banned from Vogue Network, you'll probably get banned from my channel and Bobby Blackwolf's channel. And if she wants in, probably Dark Soccer's channel too. And so
I'm all about banning people. So, yeah. Hey,
so you can start to see what channels are very likely to start ban list sharing. So, something to think about. Yep. And Rama says me too. So look out.
Don't be a shit.
Yeah. Just don't be a jerk. No, nobody listening to this show is making plans on being a jerk. I hope if you got this far into this program, we haven't annoyed you yet. So clearly, you know, the fact that, you know, our diverse personalities have not annoyed you yet, hopefully is a good sign. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to something that's very happy, very fun news. Dark Sakura.
Well, we love toys. We love our Legos. And this is actually super cool. Probably I'm not going to be able to afford anytime soon. But Lego has announced the Atari 2600 set. And it looks pretty good. It's the old wood grain style, you know, that came out when I was in single number ages. And it also, it's like it comes with a cartridge. It looks like there's actually a few cartridges and a cartridge holder. We have Adventure and Centipede and Asteroids. And it also has like a little flip panel where it looks like, you know, an early 1980s living room. So I'm down. And I'm totally down. There's even like someone playing a guitar on one of the posters. And is that better be a cat? It's a cat. Okay, there is a cat Lego that comes with this. You need it.
Yeah, so. The more and more Lego does, I'm like, dang, I'm like hundreds of dollars behind in all these sets I want to get. And I have no, but I'm really thinking about completely redoing this room and the space you see behind me. And I'm thinking about putting shelving where the arcade cabinet is now, because I actually have a walk-in closet that you don't really see on camera, but there's a walk-in closet just to the side of where all the setup is. And it actually could fit some of the arcade games in there. So I'm actually thinking about moving the arcade games into like a little walk-in arcade. And then from there being able to have some different stuff behind me and maybe some Legos. I don't know. Now I screwed up my webcam.
What my idea was.
I know. And to be fair, you're not truly the first to suggest that either. But yeah.
I can't hear you.
Sorry, I accidentally tapped the mic button when I was adjusting my camera. It's probably going to end up happening is pretty much what I was saying. So, and then that allows me lots of space to get more. Well, at least probably 1, 2, 3 against the back wall. Probably about 3 games will fit in there. So that'll be fun. All right. But I'm really excited about the Lego set. I want that. And I still want some of the Nintendo ones. I want the Princess Peach one. I want the Sonic one. I'm going to need to dip into my savings account.
That's how it begins.
Loki, how about you?
I don't have room for any of this stuff.
What do you have in the news, though?
So Ubisoft, they're having to deal with some delays and cancellations. So there was an Assassin's Creed game set in Japan, I think, that was canceled recently. Now, of course, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora is going to be delayed. It's not going to come out with the release of the new Avatar movie. But hey, you waited this long for an Avatar sequel. You can wait even longer for an Avatar game. So, yeah. You know, it's fine. So it's going to be launching sometime after March 2023. So I'm guessing after the fiscal year.
Isn't there like another, aren't there like 3 Avatar sequels or something that are all coming out like back to back to back or something? I thought that was what their plan was.
I think that's the plan is. I don't know what the time frame are of those other movies, but it's a little late. And also the last Avatar game wasn't great, but I mean, this looks all right, I guess.
I think the movie will do well. I do.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Yeah. I'm sure it will. What else? So they're saying that right now the current economic context, carefully and strategically managing our investments, is critical now more than ever. We must therefore succeed in strongly limiting our spending to what is essential by questioning some of our habits and reflexes. You mean you're going to look at addressing some of the sexual harassment allegations? No. By reinventing ourselves together to make gains in terms of cost, agility, and efficiency. That's a bunch of nonsense. I guess we're not going to see any more laser tag games from them.
How about you fire your CEO?
Yeah.
Good, maybe.
How about if you want to like show you're really going to be committed to something radical and take things in a new direction, why don't you fire your CEO? Like that would really show like less talk, more action.
So some of the games that have been canceled so far. Splinter Cell VR, Ghost Recon Frontline. The second one was supposed to be a Battle Royale-influenced multiplayer game. That's what we need more, is more Battle Royale games.
Well, especially after their last one tanked, too. So I see why that... And a Splinter Cell VR game sounds terrible. I'm sorry. Like, it just sounds like you're trying to shove something into VR that doesn't need to be there. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now they have, you know, their financial strategy is basing it on Mario and Rabbids, their new game, and the Skull and Bones game, which is still not out yet. You know, it's Assassin's Creed, the pirate part of that, but not Assassin's Creed. So yeah, we'll see. And then of course they're still working on their live service project, Assassin's Creed Infinity. Is it really Infinity, though? And also, that's a dumb name for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're going to have a new Ubisoft Forward September 10th.
Sure. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I know, right? There better be some big surprises in that. Like, how else can they partner with Nintendo to save themselves? Who knows? We'll see. All right, well, let's move on and talk about a game that I'm really into that seems to be having a nice long life because of plentiful updates that this game gets, and that's No Man's Sky. Got another update this week. I mentioned it earlier during my gaming week, but the update is called the Endurance Update. It is the 20th major update for the game. Dang, I said 18 on Bobby's show earlier. I didn't realize it was all the way up to 20. This comes after the Outlaws update came out in April. This time, what's been changed is mostly fleets and freighters, but they've also done things with space. You know how like those really rad science pictures came out this week of space, that new camera or whatever, like got the really like much clearer pictures of space, and you can like see the galaxies out there, and it's like one of those like you just want to get high and contemplate life when you look at a picture like that, because it's like, whoa, the universe, it's so big.
I think of the Animaniacs song. It's a great big universe and we're all really puny.
Anyway, well, if you want to sing that song every day, play more No Man's Sky. This couldn't have been intended, because I'm sure they didn't know those pictures were coming, but I feel like they made the universe with the asteroid artifacts and the stars in the sky, and you can see nebulas and things now, like they made it more like that photo, making things better. So I thought that was really cool. But otherwise, your freighters can really become a space base, more themed rooms. You can have a dedicated room for crops. You can have a catwalk, so you can walk and do your fashion strut. No, it's a catwalk outside. But anyway, observation deck, glass corridor, so you can like look out at the planets below, probably get some really cool photos that way. So yeah, it's just, you know, just sounds like they've really improved the freighter mini game. But overall, this probably isn't quite as big of an update as they usually are. But you know what? Considering this game is still putting the content out after like 6 years, hey, it's hard to complain. There will be a new expedition that comes with this as well. Polestar is the name of the new expedition. You're going to be taking your capital ship on the galaxy. So they are going to go to freighters, and it sounds like you're going to have to move your freighter around the galaxy as opposed to your normal spaceship. So that could be interesting. But that has not started yet. It's very rare for the expedition to not start with the patch. But again, I think they're just ironing out bugs. I hope they are, because it was kind of a yikes on the last expedition. As a reminder, No Man's Sky will hit the Nintendo Switch on October 7th, and it's going to have all these patches with it already, which makes sense, of course. And a PlayStation VR 2 version will be coming out soon as well. And I didn't know this. I thought this already existed, but a dedicated Mac OS version of No Man's Sky is coming. I thought for sure that already existed. But they announced that at WWDC, apparently, and I just fell off my radar. So you're muted, Sharksucker. I see your mouse saying something.
I just said it's about finally, and Capcom's also starting to show more support. So
yeah, I just assumed it was already on Mac because it's everywhere else. But there you go.
No, I haven't been able to play it since I moved to my Mac.
Well, maybe. Hey, I got you into Dead by Daylight. Maybe I'll get you into No Man's Sky at some point. I don't know. It might be a little.
You know, if Behavior and the people who is it that does VHS would ever get rid of the anti-cheat thing and actually use something good, I'd be able to play on my Steam account, but no. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Dark Tootsie in chat says Polestar makes me think of the Neo Geo shoot 'em up. it's pole, like a flagpole, Polestar. But yeah, it is funny. So Dark Tootsie says I'm gonna restart my NMS save on PS4, but I think I'll just wait for the Switch version to come out so I can just start fresh on my own system. Yeah, unfortunately there is no cross progression. The only cross progression that exists is between Windows Store and Xbox Series, Xbox One. Because that makes sense, right? The Microsoft family is all essentially the same thing, whether you're playing it on a PC or a dedicated Xbox. That's the only one. And that's why I actually moved from Xbox Series X, where I was playing it, to now I'm playing it on my new PC, thanks to Windows Store. So let's see. And yeah, Mish says a freighter is the thing you can keep your ships on, right? Yes. You always get one after your fifth jump in the game. And thank you, Jason, in chat, reminded me that telescope that takes the pictures, the James Webb telescope was the name of the very awesome pictures that came out. And just like, seriously, like, even if you're only like casually into space stuff, it's just like, I never really considered myself a space nerd, but I do find I tend to really enjoy sci-fi space games always. When I went to the Museum of Flight in Seattle, I loved the space stuff. They have a lot of space stuff there, and I loved seeing it. So I think I'm a closet space nerd. Well, I'm not in the closet about anything these days, but you know, I'm a little bit more of a space nerd than I would have thought. So yeah, that's maybe why I like No Man's Sky and talk about it so much. Who knows? Well, one system that never got No Man's Sky was the Wii U, and I'm sure it's never going to get it. Dark Sakura, what's happening in Nintendo's world?
Do we need to cue in Vogue?
Never gonna get it.
Anyway, so Nintendo is shutting down the Wii U and 3DS eShop. This says March. Oh, never mind, I'm looking at the wrong date. This is on March 27th, 2023. So, I mean, you got like the better part of a year, you know, but as of that day, and actually as of August 29th, 2022, you won't be able to add funds to either eShop. So if you're going to buy them now, because there is no other way to get some of these games. So,
and this,
well,
I think
it was bound to happen.
As Jason called out earlier in the show, Theater of the Curtain Call is an excellent example of a game I would grab, because for some reason they don't seem to want to do a Switch port of that. When they could do. And some of you are probably wondering, like, well, how would they do it with the touchpad and everything, even though the Switch screen? But they could adapt the arcade version and have that. But, yeah. And then I was going to say the virtual console still has some things. What's that?
I actually still have my Theatrhythm cartridge.
Yeah. And if you bought things on cartridge, that's cool. But it might be hard to find those cartridges now. And plus the DLC is going to be the big thing in those games. Because there was a lot of DLC for Theatrhythm. So, yeah, and there's a lot of stuff that was really unique to the 3DS. The Wii U probably has a handful of games that never came over to the Switch that you still might want to check out. Like Wonderful 101 comes to mind. And there's, you know, a few, but Nintendo's honestly ported most of their library over to the Switch at this point. But there's a few things, especially I would say like in the specifically the store, the Nintendo shop, indie titles and virtual console and that stuff that are worth picking up, because like the Konami titles and that they're not showing up in Switch Online's library for whatever reason. So I would be very very much probably going to go through the store and try to pick up a few things just to make sure I have them on file for sure, especially on the 3DS. I don't really have my Wii U hooked up as much anymore, but I still have a working 3DS. Like, why wouldn't I make sure I've got everything I want on there? So, all right. On a different note, let's go to this next story from Loki.
Yeah, so there's a brand new indie horror game that's kind of got a weird gimmick to it. It's called Refund Me If You Can. And, of course, it's alluding to the refund policy on Steam, where if you've played a game for more than 2 hours, you cannot refund it. So the game is challenging you to beat the game in 2 hours. Also, after 2 hours, the achievements are locked forever. You can't get any more achievements in the game. And so basically, it challenges you with going through a maze with 100 different paths, but only one of those is the correct one.
Oop. I didn't mean
all
to play,
right.
I didn't mean to play the Switch sound effect right as you sorry, I was bringing up a trailer for the next story and the little that's impeccably timed. Sorry about that. But it's the problem of running everything from one computer here. Yeah, it's a clever little play on that mechanic, but it's not, or the, on the whole, like, it's a social commentary on the Steam refund thing, which I know pisses a lot of developers off, but it sounds like the game is not particularly great, right? Like it's
all right. It
looks
like
a little bit.
Looks. I don't know if it's shovelware, but it's not like it's not super super polished. I mean, it looks like they're charging $4 for it. It looks like a game that you pay about $4 for, mm-hmm. Which is fine if that's what they're trying to do. It's only like a 2-hour experience, so I don't know. Fine, I guess.
Yeah.
So if. You know, you want to try to beat it in 2 hours, you can. I'm sure a lot of people aren't going to go through the hassle for $4, though.
Dr. Tsuya says, so he wasn't expecting to make much on it anyway, it seems. Probably not. I'm sure all this free press is going a long way, though, and here we are talking about it, too. But I do think I look at it more as social commentary than a game. It's really like commentary on that system and how it really irks a lot of developers. Because there are people that abuse it, for sure. So,
yeah. All right.
Well, let's talk about some classics. Not the classic game of the week just yet. Very soon, though. But let's talk about some classics making their way to the Nintendo Switch Online library. Now you know why I was playing that the sound earlier. But they actually came out just this week. We got an update to the classic Nintendo Switch Online app. We've got Fighter's History just came out on the Nintendo Switch Online library. This was the one. Wasn't this the one that ended up causing the lawsuit with Capcom and all that? Because it's like really similar to Street Fighter. Like
I think.
Yeah. Also Kirby's Avalanche. So you know, if
Puyo, I love this game.
Yeah, if Puyo Puyo, Puyo Puyo wasn't enough. Then here it is, Kirby's Avalanche is coming out instead. So that is out as well. And then there's a NES title. And this is kind of interesting because this is one that was actually imported. This is Diva is the short name of it. The long name of the game is, and of course I closed my screen here. So
Diva Story 6, it's Imperial of the...
Yes, I could just read the screen, RPG. Couldn't I? yes, is out on the NES. And I believe this is something that was only out in Japan before. But now it's going to be coming out here. And they've done that with a few titles. And that's cool. That's the stuff that I really like to see happen in the Nintendo Switch Online. So that's pretty cool. I believe Japan has a similar lineup, but it does get a little different. They have a different game coming out. And of course, now that I'm trying to find it, I don't have my story up. Chat room will probably beat me to it. But... where was it? Oh, Japan gets Kirby Star Stacker on the Super Famicom instead. So it's a different Kirby game instead of Kirby's Avalanche, because I don't think Kirby's Avalanche was actually released in Japan, right? That was a way to get Puyo Puyo out here in the States, was to slap Kirby and Sonic on it for the Genesis. So anyway, Dr. C in chat says Diva
covered it.
What's that?
Have I not covered it?
I can't remember that far back. I'd have to search the wiki.
Yep, it never came out in Japan. It came out in Europe as Kirby's Ghost Trap.
Ah, okay.
But it was developed by HAL Compile and Ben Presto.
Let's see. Yeah, SG100 Matt says, like, if I had 100 chances, I couldn't guess that these titles would be on this update. Such a random pick of games. And Mike Def says, yeah, Avalanche wasn't released in Japan. Why would they need to? Because it was only in they have Puyo Puyo in Japan. Mike Def
says
we
also had Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Right. Mike Def says we didn't get Star Stacker here. We only got the Game Boy version. Well, again, it is, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. It is very easy to just create a Japanese Nintendo Online account, just create a separate account and localize it to Japan. You don't have to buy or sub or anything. You download the clients and then play them on your US account, and you can play all the stuff in Japan. Now, everything's written in Japanese in the emulator, but if you play enough of the other one, you know, or, you know, it's pretty easy to figure that stuff out now at this point. So check that out. All right. Now I think we will talk about officially a little bit more of a classic time. So let's go to the next segment.
It's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
I keep having audio leak through when I don't intend to. I'll blame the COVID. All right, what's the classic game of the week tonight, Darsagra?
Mushihime-sama, which means Bug Princess. It is one of those cave shooters, because it's by Cave, and it was originally distributed by AMI in 2004 and then redistributed to arcades in 2011. So that version, though, was the version 1.5 that was a bit different, and that one was ported to PlayStation 2, but I'll get into the ports and all the stuff. So anyway, the game has a bug theme. As you can tell, the enemies resemble beetles and butterflies, and you go through forest environments. And it is as wild as one might expect it to be. It is very, very cave. Anyway, in the world of Mushihime-sama, there is an untainted one where there are these areas change into lush forests and all by arthropods called koju, and they're basically big bugs. But when they die, vegetation grows up around them, so they do the life cycle, but their life sense is poisonous to humans, so they have to sacrifice like a 15-year-old girl, but this time the one who had to do it was the princess or something. So she's just like, no, stuff goes wrong and she has to, you know, kill the bugs. So at any rate, the game was, really, really great. There was, the PS2 port by Taito, that came out in 2005 in Japan. There's a limited version that had, little, figures of, Reko and, Kinido. Exclusive on that one, as well as in a range mode, a variation of the Maniac mode where you start off with much more firepower but no continues. And if you make a bullet with an enemy while holding a bomb, you don't die, but you release the bomb instead. And then you can, of course, move through all of your weapons. Now, another thing about this one, and this is what people may be more familiar with in the US, is the iOS version, which I played a bunch of, but it was Mushihime-sama Futari. Actually, I take that back. Going back, Mushihime-sama Bug Panic was the one that came out on iOS, and it was, you could put it up to hell mode, which played like the arcade release. I played on easy mode. And then there was the sequel in 2006, which was Mushihime-sama Futari. Futari means two, so it's Bug Princess Duo, so it was a two-player bullet hell. And then other versions that came out is that Cave did an HD version for Xbox 360 on May 24, 2012 in Japan that had novice arrange in Xbox 360 mode, where the arrange is the modified PS2 arrange mode, no arcade mode. The Xbox 360 mode is like the arcade release, but with better visuals. And then the first copies had version 1.5 as DLC. And there were limited editions and an arranged soundtrack and all of that. And then Digica released a port for Windows through Steam on November 5th, 2015. And it was developed pretty much by Cave, but it's based on the Xbox 360 HD port with all of the similar modes, but without that, the version 1.5 mode that could be arranged in there were like limited release qualities, And so Steam had paid DLC available for all of that. Of course, the Steam one was international, while the Xbox 360 port was NTSCJ region locked. So, I mean, Famitsu gave this some pretty favorable ratings for the PS2. It got a 26 out of 40, but the Xbox 360 version got a 31 out of 40. So they really, really, you know, bumped it up quite a bit. It was, for Metacritic, it has an aggregate score of 86 of 100. Destructoid gave the PC version a 9 out of 10, saying that it is a must-play title. And I think it's just one of those, you know, really cute, yet very difficult games. And, I mean, not everyone knew about Mushihime-sama. I'm just going to throw that out there. It is a little bit one, I think, of the lesser-known ones outside of Bullet Hell fans, you know, here outside of Japan.
I'm definitely one of those people. Like, I did not... I feel like you've probably shown me this game like very quickly before, but I don't remember this one at all. But it looks very cool. Like it doesn't even work on
iOS anymore.
Ah,
yeah, it's been completely retired, I think, because it required different architecture to play. But yeah, I mean, I always thought that there should be like a Mushihime-sama RPG or something because I liked the little universe it was in. But that's it.
There it is,
Bug Princess.
There it is, your classic game of the week, Bug Princess, Mushihime-sama. It's the classic game of the week. Are we going to have a theme of cave shooters? Because I think you did one last week too, right? Or 2 weeks ago, I guess.
No, I did Ikaruga.
Yeah, so.
Not long ago.
So, anyway.
Which was treasure.
Good pick. Oh, yeah, yeah. Good pick for your classic game of the week. Thank you. All right, let's travel around and do quickly some rapid fire news and see what else is going on in the gaming industry. Loki.
We have some more characters announced for multiverses. So we have LeBron James, as featured in Space Jam, A New Legacy, is going to be a character in the game as well. And then, of course, Rick and Morty are going to be appearing as well. And those are actually as of the 26th. So in a couple more days, they'll be available to play. Neat, I guess. Still not a fan of the new Space Jam, but Rick and Morty's cool.
Yeah.
And then No More Heroes is going to be coming to... Or No More Heroes 3 is going to be coming to PC, PlayStation, and Xbox in October. Looks like on the 11th of October. So that's pretty awesome. I'll have to check that out.
Dark Sakura.
So, well, a controversial thing, actually, believe it or not, is that the Dead by Daylight Attack on Titan collection is now available in version 6.1.0. Everybody looks really good except for Dwight and Jake. I'm just saying. Their saggy butt pants make them look like they have no waist.
Oh, I hate the Felix. I cannot stand the Felix.
I like the Felix one. Mm-hmm. The Felix one is very, I mean, his hair isn't good because that hair just doesn't suit him. But the outfit is, I mean, very, you know,
the killer skins are fantastic, though.
I don't really care for the spirit that much, but I do like how Oni looked. Mm-hmm. And I now have a special space in my heart for that Oni cosmetic because I stayed completely hidden from an Oni an entire match who was wearing that cosmetic. He saw me once and then I got out with the hatch and no hooks and no hits.
Dr. Sia says, I saw that, but didn't know what the reception was from the DBD community.
So can I get into a little something?
Yeah, sure. I have a feeling I know where you're going to go. So yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of controversy around the ending of Attack on Titan and even a lot of the various themes that come out in it that some people argue that it is flat-out anti-Semitism. And certainly if you know your history very well and have paid attention to some of the provocations of the mangaka, he's got some very interesting heroes, even going so far as to pattern a character in the anime after a very controversial commander who is responsible for quite a few atrocities against the Korean people and Chinese people. And actually, as a result, Attack on Titan has been banned in China. But I don't want to go too much into it because I certainly do see the parallels, even though I'm not convinced it's intentional, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are quite a few people in the community who have stated that they are leaving the game over it.
Oh, wow.
And I understand why. But we'll, if anyone wants to know more about it, I've got links for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go into the rest of my, I've gone into my personal opinions on my stream. Right when everything came out, I addressed my feelings on it. But it's all completely up to you guys. And by the way, Ranchan, the presence of a manji is a little bit different. I mean, basically, it's mostly Western cultures that have a problem with the use of manji, which is actually going exactly the opposite way of a swastika. This is different. This is going into full on, like, for some people saying that it is a complete parallel, this is what I mean. This is, you know, this conspiracy theory, and I'm mirroring it in my show, but I don't think that's entirely it. Mm. I mean, your mileage may vary. Don't at me, because honestly, I've done my research. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't really care for it after the second season anyway, but take it as you will.
I don't know the show at all. I've never bothered. You know, I mean, I'll watch admit, TV.
The first two seasons were freaking great. Mm. I mean, I loved it. It was, and then it just like it took that turn. Then like, okay, I don't really care for the direction that this is going in, and kind of lost interest.
Yeah.
But the first two seasons were action and had great character development, but it got weird.
But to go back to the original question about how has it been received by the community, I mean, these things are and these types of skins always seem to print money for behavior entertainment. And again, this
is the first major pairing with an anime studio.
Yeah, I have no data to back this up. Besides, I see one of these skins in every match I've been playing recently.
Yeah.
This week, I see one like a Zarina. Almost always.
I love Serena's,
that skin is the best at all the survivors for sure. So or the killer ones. I've seen that spirit a couple times now. So it's just yeah.
But I mean, and I actually really like Kate's Historia outfit because first of all, she's clothed.
Can't stand the Ace one, but apparently it's very loyal to the character. So.
The Ace one I think is really good because it makes Ace actually look decent. I have to actually, there's a point that I agree with that Losing Color pointed out about the hair for some of these, is that the hairs look like they're a bad wig that don't fit. But some of them actually look really good, like, of course, Zarina and Kate as Historia. So, but everybody else, they try to do the anime hair thing in Dead by Daylight and it doesn't work. Yeah. The style just doesn't match up that way. So,
all right.
At any rate, that's my aesthetic judgment. Also, Dwight and Jake look dumpy at the end.
All right. One more story. This one's coming out of Comic-Con, which is going on. San Diego Comic-Con happened this weekend. And so we've been getting some headlines out of that, including that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga collection, which is basically Konami's latest collection of stuff, is going to be happening. We knew the game was coming, but now we know the date. August 30th is the release date of the game. PS5, PS4, Xbox One, Xbox Series, PC, Nintendo Switch. So pretty much anything with a power switch that plays modern games will be able to run this as well. 13 games across the 8 and 16-bit eras, or the time when Konami actually had the license, including the arcade version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original, as well as Turtles in Time. And then the first four console games, Genesis game, Game Boy games, Tournament Fighters, NES, SNES, Genesis. There's so much Ninja Turtles in here. Tiger Claw is going to be very happy for at least 2 weeks. So enjoy that. No, I'm going to be happy too. Okay. Who's ready for a hot take? I even actually really enjoy the original 8-bit game. Yes, it's hard as hell. Yes, it's kind of derpy compared to the arcade. I just have memories from being a kid playing it that I actually kind of enjoy it for 5 minutes before I switch to something else. But that's what these collections are for, right? Now you can get an achievement and prove to your friends that you beat that stupid underwater level. And you can officially have that achievement in your inventory. Actually, I don't know if it has the achievement in the inventory, but that's my assumption. So, and Tiger Claw does point out you could use save states. So that's true. That's true. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some games that are coming out a little sooner than the Cowabunga collection. Loki, we'll start with the U.S.
Yeah, we have a surprising number of games actually coming out this week. So starting things off, we have Hellpoint, which is coming out on the Xbox Series X. And that's going to be, let's see, by Tiny Build. That's pretty cool. Noelle, The Mortal Fate, that's on Xbox One. We've got Story of Seasons, Pioneers of Olive Town on PlayStation 4. Octopath Traveler, Champions of the Continent on iOS and Android. Anonymous Code on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Azure Striker Gunvolt 3 on Nintendo Switch. Bear and Breakfast on PC and Nintendo Switch. Captain Velvet Meteor, The Jump Plus Dimensions on Nintendo Switch. Digimon Survive on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Grim Grimoire Once More on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Haji Love Making Lovers on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Let's see. Hime Mia San Wa Kamatai on PlayStation 4. Stop it with all the Japanese name games. That's what I'm going to say right now.
Now you know
Ko
my pain.
Ko Majo Romilia Scarlet Symphony on PC and Nintendo Switch. Lost Epic on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Relief Dear You for Switch on Nintendo Switch. Sen no Hato Tsukisome no Kyoki.
Is this in the U.S.?
Yes, this is on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, okay.
I know, I'm like, he's reading all my releases. Really? I'm not even joking.
It's visual novel week.
No, well, and it's also that the Switch is it. Things are becoming a little more global in the release stuff, especially on the Switch front. That's just a general trend that's been happening thanks to the shift to digital. So anyway,
yeah. Vesperia Saga 2, The Sacred Sword of Sylvanester on PC, and then we've got Yoni on Nintendo Switch. Avenging Spirit on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Digimon Survive also coming out a little bit later on in the week on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Madison on Nintendo Switch. Rimworld Console Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Story of Seasons, Pioneers of Olive Town also coming out on PlayStation 4 later in the week. And last but not least, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 on Nintendo Switch.
I saw a game that said Hell Pie.
All right. Going over to Japan, I wasn't kidding. Loki really did mention pretty much a lot of the same stuff that's coming out in Japan. Let me hit on some of the highlights. Digimon Survive, also on the Switch this week. That's probably going to be a pretty big one. Dungeon Munchies is coming out as well in Japan this week on the 28th. Azure Striker Gunvolt 3 in a regular and a limited edition is out. That Komaju Remelia Scarlet Symphony is out in a regular and limited edition, but it is being released in English in Japan. Grim Grimoire Once More, also out on the Switch this week, and Final Vendetta also out this week, and there is actually a new controller coming out that is a Pokemon Charizard Vortex themed controller that's coming out this week. That might be third party, actually. I'm not sure why that snuck on my list, but there it is. And then, of course, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, I'm pretty sure is a worldwide release, so that is also out in a regular and collector's edition this week. in Japan. Quickly looking at the PS5 to see what we have different there. The Legend of Heroes, Kuro no Kisuke, is out in Japan this week, as well as... that's it. Final Vendetta is also out on the PS5 this week in Japan. Let's go to Europe, Dark Sakura.
In Europe, we have on the 28th for PC, or for actually any computer, Sims 4 High School Years Expansion Pack. On Switch on the 29th, the rest of these are all the 29th, we have Xenoblade Chronicles 3. PlayStation, we have Story of Seasons, Pioneers of Olivetown, Lawn Mowing Simulator Landmark Edition, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, and also Digimon Survive. I guess I can actually say Ninja instead of Hero.
I think they did rebrand it officially in Europe, finally. At some point, they finally, turned it around. So, all right. We have some more stories, and then we're going to get to your calls, emails, and other comments in our listener roundtable. But first, Loki.
Yeah, so there is a brand... Well, there's always new content coming to Grand Theft Auto Online, but this is supposed to be one of the biggest updates that they've done for Grand Theft Auto Online. It's coming out on July 26th, called Criminal Enterprises. And there's supposed to be... I guess it's supposed to be topical, but that as part of the update, they're adding a series of new missions that you team up with the IAA, which is, I guess, like the CIA. And then you take down, apparently you are trying to take down notorious oil-rich dynasty in Los Santos. It's people who are profiteering off of heat and soaring prices. Oh my gosh, it's like ripped out of the headlines. So in it, they're also going to have some more ways to make cash in the game with in-game businesses, including like biker bars, which is kind of cool, kind of a throwback to, you know, Lost and Damned. So yeah, except I'm not interested in it because it's not a single player expansion. I'll just wait for 6. But yeah,
all this time else? They've been working on it and it ends up being that.
Well, and then they've added some more quality of life changes, they said. So players will now be able to buy max ammo for all weapons at once via some interactions menu. What else? On PC, you'll be able to turn off chat. I don't know. None of these look really, really interesting. The race creator tool has been greatly expanded. So that's cool. Allowing to increase the player count and add more checkpoints and props, because I know you had kind of a limited amount of like objects you can use because of memory stuff, but I'm sure since we're now the PlayStation 4 and Xbox 360, actually even PlayStation 3 and Xbox, god, this game has been out so long, so like with the previous versions being discontinued, obviously those caps can go up because the newer consoles can handle more objects and stuff in games. So I like to see that, because there's, you can do some crazy stuff with those races, so that's pretty cool. At least still not gonna play it.
All right, let's go to Dark Sakura with a interesting development in this saga.
Unions, we like unions. So another Activision Blizzard studio is trying to unionize. It's 20 QA workers at Blizzard Albany. They filed for union election. They were formerly known as Vicarious Visions. That's a cool name. And so they went public on this past Tuesday and filed for union election with the National Labor Relations Board, the NLRB. And the group said it was seeking representation with the Communications Workers of America. So 20 workers were involved with that, as I mentioned earlier. And they want more pay transparency, fairer compensation, better benefits. And they want to work with Activision Blizzard to have a good process for addressing workplace issues predominantly involving employee misconduct. So here's a quote from the group. QA is currently an undervalued discipline in the games and software industries. We strive to foster work environments where we are respected and compensated for our essential role in the development process. Activision did acknowledge the request, but they haven't said anything other than this quote from one of their spokespeople. Our top priority remains our employees. We deeply respect the rights of all employees under the law to make their own decisions about whether or not to join a union. We believe the direct relationship between the company and its employees is the most productive relationship. The company will be publicly and formally providing a response to the petition to the NLRB.
The snowball's continuing to build.
Yeah. The people.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see how this, because Vicarious Visions, that was a pretty big, they were the big part of the Diablo 2 remake that came out last year. So and that was a pretty big release. So I'm very curious to see how this all plays out. Yeah. And the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remake, says SJ100 Matt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So very curious to see how this continues. I think they end up unionizing. I think that part's not a surprise. I think it's the continued snowball effect from here. So, but we knew it was coming. All right. And it's needed. We all know it's needed. All right. Just a few more stories. Loki.
Yep. So Roblox is doing some work to try to improve the graphics in the game. So they've, I guess, done some slight changes to how some of the materials are displayed in games. So the way kind of Roblox works with like building stuff, they have different materials, which would have different like lighting on them. And then with that, you basically create an object and then say, okay, this is concrete, this is rubber or whatever. And they have different physics effects and stuff like that. So now the lighting is slightly different. Honestly, I'm looking at the two screenshots here. It's like the new one looks darker. It's like The Last of Us remaster. It's not night and day different, honestly. Cool. It'll look nicer. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool for those people that like that, but I am not one of those people.
They said it's like a materials update. Like, I'm looking at the screenshots here, and like, it's slightly better. I don't know.
ZenMonkey11 in chat says, don't try to fix what ain't broken, Roblox. You're gonna fuck it up. You know,
no, I don't think they're gonna fuck it up. I think what they're doing is they're just making it so that, because I mean, a lot of the people that make these games in Roblox are kids and they don't know like how to light stuff correctly and stuff. They're just using kind of the templates and stuff that they have. So all they're doing is just taking that and making it look a little bit better. Kind of think of like, I guess, adding shaders to Minecraft a little bit. Not to that extent, but like, you know, it's still the same game, but they're like lighting it a little bit better, or they're adding, you know, some, you know, subscatter, you know, reflections and stuff like that, just to help make it pop a little bit. Kind of, you know, update it a bit. it's a, you know, a pretty old game at this point.
All right. Well, how about an old band in a new, but an amazing band, the best band of all time, in my opinion, in a rather new franchise, which honestly was a franchise I did not even know about until I had seen this story. But it's the Let's Sing franchise, and they are going to be getting an ABBA game is coming out for Let's Sing. Unfortunately, I do not have footage of Let's Sing ABBA, but I do have footage I can show here on Twitch of Let's Sing Queen, which, you know, is also pretty cool. But this game came out in 2020. But you can get an idea. Yes, it's another karaoke game that is available. And it looks a lot like
Sing. I have witnesses to the ABBA one.
It looks a lot like SingStar. It looks to me. It's not developed by the same people, but I want to know if it's even like maybe some of the, because, you know, SingStar hasn't been around for years now. They got rid of that. I wonder if it isn't some of the same people that worked on that, because there's a very similar vibe going on.
Let's Sing's been around since like the Wii. So yeah, it's the same type of vibe like that they've been doing. Yeah, it's a you know, a third party kind of karaoke game thing. Yeah. But I mean, SingStar's gone, and so now it's like, hey, all the competition's gone. Cool. now they can probably pull out these bigger titles.
Well, it's interesting to me, though, that they're even taking the same trajectory as SingStar, because SingStar had a Queen version, and then they had an ABBA version. And that's what Darksaga was talking about, is the videos of me singing and doing SingStar ABBA back in the day, which I had on PlayStation 3. Of course I bought that. No, of course I bought that game.
You have witnesses in person, or was that the dance game? That was the dance game with ABBA.
The dance game. I never, that was the dance game on the Wii.
They also tried to do Let's Dance as well. They tried to compete against Just Dance, and that's just never going to happen.
Oh, that's right. Okay. But anyway, so even though I'm showing Let's Sing Queen on the screen, Let's Sing ABBA is coming out, and it's expected on the Switch later this year. It will have 30 ABBA hits, including one from Voyage, the latest album, because as you know, ABBA put out a new album this year for the first time since 1982, which is wild. I'm thrilled, obviously. They didn't say which song from Voyage is in it, but I'm assuming it's either Don't Shut Me Down or the ballad that was the single, which in the moment, I still have faith in you. I'm like, where did the ABBA fan go? Okay. But also, you know, and they also say in this game, of course, they're going to have Mamma Mia, Dancing Queen, Waterloo, Money, 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 Thank You for the Music, The Winner Takes It All, Take a Chance on Me, and more. Of course, we don't know how much it costs yet, but I'll still be buying it. But will it have my favorite ABBA song? Does anyone remember my favorite ABBA song? It was a single, but it wasn't a well-known single. It was in SingStar ABBA. So I'm hoping it'll be in this one, but something got bumped. Are you thinking Chiquita? Not that one.
Yeah.
Not that one. That's a great song though. But I'm going to say that about every ABBA song. I don't know if there's an ABBA song I don't like. So, well, the Christmas one on the new album is a little meh, but I love ABBA.
Thank You for the Music, is it?
I love that song, but no, my favorite ABBA, especially, I was going to say The Winner Takes It All when Meryl Streep sings it in the movie. But no, my favorite ABBA song is When All Is Said and Done from The Visitors. And that's the one that they let Pierce Brosnan sing in the movie because they added it from the musical. And I wish they hadn't, to be quite honest.
Didn't I give you a copy of Super Trooper on vinyl?
Oh, yes, you did. You did.
That's right. I did.
Yeah.
Because I found it at a thrift store and I was like, Rob needs this. And then I didn't give it to you for 2 years.
I bought The Visitors when I was in Seattle on vinyl because that's my favorite ABBA album is The Visitors. So, which includes that song. So,
well, I just happened to find an ABBA album and I'm like, Rob wants this, I'm sure. And if he doesn't, then he's gonna.
ZenMonkey11 says, I want that ABBA song Madonna stole the beat from. Shit is dope. Well, it's all
what
over.
You mean?
Gimme, gimme, gimme a Man After Midnight is the song you're looking for.
That is also the erotic version is in my rotation during my stream.
That erotic cover of, and I'm not talking about erotic, the description. I'm talking about the 90s band that was it. Well, they're back now as everything from the 90s is, but they're in DDR. They're all over DDR. Like, you know, their songs from back in the day are all over DDR, but that band did a cover of ABBA albums and it's actually really fucking good.
It's really good.
Their cover of Angel Eyes is amazing.
I love actually their cover of Take a Chance on Me.
Yeah. Like honest, that erotic ABBA album is fucking a bop. Like I think it's on Spotify now, which
it's on Apple Music.
Yeah, I was gonna say if it's on Spotify then it's also on Apple Music and all the other big ones, so it's definitely worth checking out if you even somewhat enjoy ABBA and or erotic. So
that's just an absolutely delightful.
Yeah. So of course now the chat is asking, SG100 Matt says, so Let's Sing ABBA stream when? That is if Twitch even lets you do it. That's a good question. I'm willing to do it. I don't know if Bobby will let me. I'm willing to do it. We probably would just have to delete the archive. Like we probably couldn't even have an archive.
Rob, I will let you know a couple of fun things which I do with my channel. Mm. You can exclude audio from a VOD. You can also choose to have it not go to VOD, I think.
Yeah, that's true. We could just turn VODs off for that night. Yeah.
But I always have, because, you know, I play a playlist in my background that could be any number of copyrighted things. But you just set your advanced settings to have your audio routing go a slightly different way. So you have a VOD track and you have a live track.
Hmm.
So it's pretty easy. I'll show you.
Maybe. So, okay. I mean, I'm open to it. It would be a fun channel point reward type of thing, which, by the way, we still owe the listeners an Orange Lounge Foodio. We all know why it got delayed, and it got delayed for good reason, but we gotta plan a date for that at some point so we can start doing channel point rewards again. So, all right. Anyway, Let's Sing ABBA, coming out some point. Will I buy it? Of course I will. Okay. If they release it here, but I think it said it's coming out here as well as Europe and all that. So, and why wouldn't I get it? All right. Let's go to the listener roundtable. Every week we invite you to participate, whether it's in Discord over Twitch or vognetwork.com/Discord or via our email bag. participate@orangelaundryradio.com is the place to send us an email. I actually see a caller already in the green room. So Dark Soccer, if you don't mind, before we do the mailbag, I'm going to go to our caller here. So let's go to our caller. Hi, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Of course, any good discussion about ABBA also includes erotic and Madonna and all of those sorts of things.
Hey, they've influenced so many people. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, you're not kidding. VX Jason,
it's me. Hey, woo, Jason, hello. It's good to hear from you. What's up, my friend?
So I have a little bit of a mea culpa, and I also wanted to expand on what I said in the intro.
Okay.
Because 30 seconds, you know, 30 seconds, more like 22 with my standard rap and all that kind of stuff. So when I did the intro about 2 hours before showtime, and when I did it as usual, I went through a couple of rewrites and I had to delete a leading one or two sentences. And when I was listening to it in context of the show starting, I was thinking, wow, that scam call out is really, really shitty, really fear-mongery, really just like, where the hell did that come from after what is ostensibly a very good feature that Twitch is working on, the charity donations, if that wasn't obvious already. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to add a few more of my thoughts on why I wrote that the way it is. The first draft had a leading paragraph that was talking about, I wonder how much scamming I don't know about in charity donation circles. The couple of versions in particular I'm thinking about that is like whenever there's a big natural disaster, you have people on the road, I'm collecting for Red Cross, just on, you know, random roads anywhere, and don't give to those people, give to the Red Cross directly. If there is a location near you, that's great. Obviously online is everything, but like somebody that paints a Red Cross on a bucket on the side of the road, don't give your money to them. Always go to the source.
This is a huge, I mean, you bring up, this is a huge thing with charity donations and stuff, is that you have to be able to trust, because oftentimes you're donating to somebody's PayPal and then they're going to take that money and you just have to trust that they donate it. I've seen some Twitch streamers, what they do is they'll be like, okay, hooray, we raised, you know, $85 for this. And then they post a screenshot of their donation to, I mean, we know those can be faked, but if we trust that most people are pretty genuine, you know, but there is that key word, trust. That's very important.
A lot will have actually a link to the charity that works through through Twitch. So yeah, you follow the link through the Twitch chat. It takes you to the official donation page.
Well, and I was going to say
Tiltify is one of the big ones, I think, out there.
Well, days. I was also going to point out, like, the big fundraiser I think we think of with Twitch is Games Done Quick, an awesome Games Done Quick. And when you donate for that, you do donate to a PayPal, but you're donating directly to the Doctors Without Borders PayPal or the other charity, Prevent Cancer Foundation. You're donating directly to those, basically, but it's through the it's like tracked on the Games Done Quick website and it sort of ties together, so it knows that you donated through them, but you are putting the money right there in their PayPal, if that makes sense.
Yep. A streamer friend of mine back in 2016 or 2017 wanted to raise money for the RSPCA. She's up in British Columbia. She wanted to donate to the RSPCA. There was a lot of big news about multiple just hoarder houses, I don't remember if they were breeders or not, but like just houses that really fell off the way And there were, you know, hundreds of cats, hundreds of animals across multiple raids and recovery and all that kind of stuff. And she really wanted to donate to the RSPCA. And I knew her personally. You know, I was a moderator of her channel. I give her all of the benefit of the doubt. All of us in the community did. We're a tight-knit community, all that kind of stuff. And she did also make the donation in person, posed with a staff member with a big novelty check with everything signed in, all of their, you know, all of the commemoration and proof was there, okay. Admittedly, after the fact, which is always the problem. And so that's just kind of like where my mind went. We see all the big news with GDQ, you know, 2 million, 3 million, the number only continues. I wonder about how many chargebacks and stuff that they have to deal with. Probably a lot. Obviously, they're not really going to report on that. I haven't looked at their full disclosure fundamentals or anything like that. But there's a lot of detail out there, and this tugs on a lot of things that I deal with professionally and feel personally and all those sorts of things, that know who you're giving to, know why you're giving to them. Don't do it just because they say so. If they say it's going to XYZ corporation, charity, all that kind of stuff, do that. Another couple of things that I'd like to say just in general, if you use Amazon, go to smile.amazon.com, pick a charity, put your money towards a charity.
Mine's set for Able Gamers.
Yep, I do charity water. I've cared about that for quite some time.
I'm putting all of mine into the abortion fund.
Yeah, there's a ton of great resources out there. The reason why this is U.S. only, because Twitch is a U.S. company, and the good thing about the U.S. is the 501c3 and c4 registrations, like the legal system is out there for you to be able to look up this information very quickly and very easily. And even such that the couple of Twitch cons that I've gone to, when I saw, I don't remember if it was Tiltify, but they had these little... all of the charities in the wing of the main hall of TwitchCon had these little credit card bucket looking things that were donations. It was like, hey, you know, $1, $5, $10, just drop your card in here. It's like, that is an example of technology, awesome technology benefiting people, where you come by and boop, we know how to drop a card in, bam. You get a pleasant little sound, you get the reaction of everybody else there. And like,
don't give this the Salvation Army, just saying.
Agreed. But where your policies and feelings and motives align, like, do your research so that you're not getting ripped off and benefiting somebody else. Like, the information is out there. Please make sure you're making use of it. Yeah. Mm.
I think this is going to be nice when it is more embedded within Twitch. I think Twitch can see that so much of their community is getting involved with this anyway, that it's just something they should be on top of, and just to weed out, you know, that bad apple in the barrel, because all it takes is one to really ruin it for people that want to question everything after that point. And rightfully so, I get it. So Twitch being able to kind of like legitimize that by people knowing that it's going to the charity because it's through Twitch, and you point out how Twitch already, Amazon owns Twitch and already has the charity stuff built into it. And yes, use Smile. I mean, I can't tell you which charity to donate to. There's 1,000 great causes on Smile Amazon. You have to speak what speaks to you. And that's that. No one can tell you what to do. You have to pick the one that's right for you. So, you know, but pick somebody, you know, if you are, you know, using Amazon.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Be very careful, though, because some of them on there, especially like with the ones I've been dealing with for abortion funds, mm-hmm. they are very deceptively named. Look them up. Look up their paperwork before you select it.
All right.
Yeah. So many things. Like, I don't remember if it was just last February when the Supreme Court decision was leaked, but yeah, those same kind of things, as like when some organization's name gets big in the news, you're going to have a bunch of similar looking name pop-ups. Like, this will always be around, because this is always a social problem. Like, the name looks close enough to trick you into giving your money over to something that is scamming you out of your donation, your good intent. And the more vetted that platforms make it, the better. It gets us 90% of the way there. The last 2%, the last 10% is on the individual to verify and do it, and do it the way that really like verifies and proves that you did what you wanted to do to the people you wanted to have your donation.
All right. Very good tips, Jason. Appreciate it, and appreciate the intro making and all that good stuff, as always.
Always, always.
All right. Take care, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great night, everyone.
You too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to... Whoop, not that shot, this one. Let's go back and visit our mailbag. Participate at orangelawntrader.com is the place that you can send us an email week after week after week. Participate at orangelawntrader.com. And I believe there's at least one in there today, right?
There is a list of three things, but there's only two items listed, but I'll read it. Hello, one and all. Quick story for you. Last night, I was at a friend's house for a birthday party. At his house, there's a DDR3 mix machine in the living room. The only difference is that there's a computer attached to it with Stepmania. I was asked by someone to join them for a few rounds. Played 1.5 difficult. The machine has tons of custom original tracks, including other DDR mixes. I don't remember all the songs I played, but it did get me to thinking, and a question to all of you, what three songs would you play in DDR? Here's my choices. So number one isn't on the list, I'm just saying. Number two, Princes of the Universe by Queen. And number three, Nonfiction by Liela. Kind of eclectic, but I like it. That's it. Stay cool. Really hating this heat wave and stay awesome. That came from Ranchan.
Always good to hear from Ranchan.
Gosh, my three. They're probably all on my playlist. I would probably say Days of Thunder by The Midnight. I'd also say Stars by Kylie.
Ooh.
Like one of my favorite songs. And... Oh, maybe Star Worshipper, the Leno remix by Future Cop. I'm also going to throw in one other and say Money by Mystery Skulls.
This is a really hard one for me because like my brain kind of wants to go back to that era of DDR music in the 90s and 2000s. And kind of pick songs from that area. Well, we never did get an ABBA song officially in DDR. So, you know, I want Dancing Queen in DDR. So there's that. Let's see. What else would I love to see in DDR? I would love to see something like there's a lot of. See, when I go back to that era, I'm like, I wanted more like Vincent D'Amour stuff because like Ghosts is probably like one of my all time favorite songs, or more Echo Image songs because there's a lot of Echo Image stuff, you know, but it's kind of like more of the same that was already in DDR. So I guess I go and I say like I would love to have a bop from Robin, you know, has always has some danceable songs. So
something for Robin and Royksopp.
Yeah, I was just actually Royksopp was another band I was going to say. I would love to have a song by them. Yeah. So I don't know, or like, yeah, I think there's so many good songs that would work out, but it all depends on what they can license, right?
Yeah, Royksopp and Suzanne, how you pronounce her name, Sundfor?
Yeah, something
Never
like that.
Ever?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a good one, too.
They just had a new album come out, too, Royksopp did, so. Because they have a Goldfrapp song on there now. So,
ooh, yeah. Well, we know how we like Goldfrapp.
Absolutely. I love Goldfrapp.
In this house.
So Loki, what about you? What three songs would you put in DDR?
I don't know. I have a DDR machine that can put any songs I want on there. And like, I don't really know what I would put on there. That's too open-ended. Like, I'll just play some of the stuff that other people make.
I would do a DDR machine where the only song you can play is Conga Feelin'. That's it. It's a Conga Feelin' machine. That's the only song you're allowed to play.
Fine.
What was that day back on a fourth mix at RVGL where I think someone played like the kick, either kick the can or the seven jump over and over?
I think it was the seven jump.
Kick the can.
Yeah.
That was special.
Good times. S200 Matt is suggesting Loki Fusion mixes. You had some really awesome mixes back in the day. I kind of missed that you...
Yeah, they don't make great sim files, though, unfortunately.
Did you ever put them on YouTube? You should put those on YouTube.
No.
Just put them up there.
That would probably get claimed pretty fast.
So let them claim. I guess you wouldn't want to do it on your Minecraft channel because you're really trying to build that. Yeah, well, have a throwaway account.
Sure.
All right. Okay, so thank you for the email. Appreciate that. That was the only one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can go to our chat and get some questions from our chat as well. So No One Special is back. Hello, hello, and says, question, have you three ever bought a game going in knowing full well it's bad, but enjoyed it nonetheless? That's an interesting one. Have you ever bought a game knowing it would be bad, but still enjoying it nonetheless? Ooh. I feel like if I bought it and everybody said it was bad, it was something I was still wanting to defend.
No, I definitely have bought games that I know are bad.
Sneak King comes to mind.
No, that's not bad. What are you talking about? That's a great game.
Everybody said it was bad when it came out. But
creepy.
Yeah, Sneak King.
It's not bad.
Bobby agrees with me. Just said it in chat.
No, like, I've definitely purchased Steam games because I knew they were bad. Like, The Long Drive. There's a perfect example. The Gas Station Simulator.
Pixel Poops Volume 2.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Let's see. Naughty Bear says Pod Culture. That's a good answer. I remember that one.
I can't think of any that I played on purpose that they were bad, because, I mean, some games other people may not like and you think that they're super fun. Yeah. So it's all perception.
No Man's Sky. Everybody shit on that game when it came out. And I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. But now I love it, you know, all this time later. But I feel like that's a cheaty answer. Because I could say that with a lot of games where they got shit on when they first came out. Diablo 3, Final Fantasy 14. But they're good games now, right? So those would all fit into that as well. Pod Culture says Yaris. I'm sorry. Nobody actually liked Yaris.
You didn't purchase that. That was free.
S100 Matt says Garfield Go, even though it was free to play. You know what? A mobile phone game could absolutely count. I bet there's hella mobile phone games that get a shitty rap, but people enjoy them anyway, for sure. So,
a lot of the Earth Defense Force games could be really bad.
Yeah. Tiger Claw in chat says there were a lot of NES games that were bad, but we bought them because you looked at the box and admired the graphics, so you thought it would be a good game.
Back to the Future 2 and 3. That was an awful game.
I remember everybody hated Fester's Quest, but I kind of liked it.
And
it
I don't know, that game was great.
It didn't click for me for years later that I was like, Fester's Quest was just the overhead parts of Blaster Master as a game. Fester's Quest was just the overhead parts of Blaster Master. They took out the side scroll part and they took all the overhead part and made it its own game. So, yeah. It's just
basically.
Fester's Quest is a sequel to Blaster Master.
It's in the same universe.
It's in the same universe as well. Yes, it is. Bobby Blackwolf says, I'm surprised Loki didn't say Saints Row 4. Well, Loki didn't like that game.
I didn't buy that knowing it was bad. I bought it and then found out it was bad.
Jeez.
All right, if you have any other questions for us,
there's a difference there.
Twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. I'll give it another minute here to see if any other questions come in here. But
I remember the wrestling game so bad that when we rented it, we took it back.
Mm-hmm.
That was that WCW Thunder.
Oh, God. Bad. Yeah, I remember renting games that would end up being terrible, but
it was bad enough we took it back.
My mom never liked Blockbuster for some reason. My mom, because all these people have fond memories of Blockbuster, my mom refused to go there. She hated them for some reason. So I never really got to experience that. We did go to Hollywood Video, but I don't think I ever, but it was always like mom and pop stores. Like the local chain, Plaster TV, we went to for a long time. They didn't rent games though.
We had a Curtis Mathis store in Dothan, Alabama, that my granny would take us to for rentals.
That's fun.
Yeah. I think I rented the same copy of Return of the Jedi over and over and over and over because it is my favorite Star Wars flick.
Nice. Nice. Let's see. Mike Def says, what about the opposite? Games that everyone likes that you hate. Oh, this is a game that everyone likes that you don't like.
Halo.
I don't like Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask. I don't like any of the Nintendo 64.
You went right for it. You went
I don't
right
like any of the
it.
Nintendo 64 Zelda games.
Wow. I'm sure there's something. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank in the minute. See, I want to take the easy answers and do things like Madden and the sports games, but I feel like that's a cop out. Saga Frontier. I never liked that. I don't like the Saga series, and people really
bought that, and I didn't like it.
Yeah,
I was like, it's super sad. I was like, oh, a Square Enix game. And I played them like, no.
I'm kind of with the folks in chat saying the Souls games. The Soul, oh. Yeah.
Any of the tactics games? I don't like tactics games, including I don't like Final Fantasy Tactics. I hate tactics games.
See, that's the one I'll let slide. But otherwise, I'm not a big fan of tactics
this way.
Games.
I don't even like the Macross game that came out on PC Engine, and I just love almost anything of the old Macross games. So,
All right. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap things up tonight. I know it was a little shorter tonight, but that's all right. I'm still kind of feeling like I'm ready to wrap up for the night. So that'll work. But thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening to the show. Whether you were here live or you joined us on the podcast feed, thank you so much for downloading and checking out Orange Lounge Radio tonight. If you like what you heard on the show, please tell a friend or two about the show. Excuse me, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but the voices have to be here for us to put out on air. So please tell a friend or two. A tweet or a social media post goes a long way. I really appreciate that. Even though hosting on Twitch is kind of not what it used to be, we'll still take them here at VOG Network, and I really appreciate that stuff. So thank you. We'll be back in 7 days to do it again. I guess we'll go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Oh, actually, I should check with Loki. I'm sorry, last minute stories. I forgot to sidebar it, but do you have any last minute stories, Loki?
No.
Okay, then we will get final thoughts. All right, Dark Sakura, your final thought, because I know you're going to stream.
Yeah, words.
Okay.
Later, taters.
Bye.
I couldn't think of anything, sorry.
No, you're fine. It's only a segment we do every week. No, I'm just kidding. I know.
Yeah, but my brain is like, I'm looking at a freeze frame of Midna, and I'm like, I love my cat. That's it. I love my cat.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, have a good stream. We'll see you in a little bit.
Later.
All right, and Loki, how about my final thought? My final thought is I would like to know what fucking went and changed all the settings on my computer, including these different shots I'd carefully curated within OBS, and just tonight it just decided to reset all my shots and make them square, so now I'm having to, like a dummy, recraft them as we're live on air, but whatever. Anyway, that's my final thought. Why do things have to be complicated? Why can't things just work? Why can't they work? All right.
That's the way it is, I guess.
Loki, last but not least, your final thought.
I wish there were sim files for the dance or the Step Maniac stuff. I get it. It's Kyle Ward and all them, and they want to support that because it's a great indie game. It's doing well. But also, I want to play them on my cabinet. And so, yeah.
Where are they?
Where are they?
All right.
I'll pay for them. Like, you can't tell me that I'm sure that covenant's running like Step Mania in some, you know, capacity. It's like, you know, just offer them. It will pay for them.
All right. We'll be back in 7 days to do this all over again. Why did the date suddenly revert to our 20th anniversary show? Everything is broken on this computer. Everything is broken. I'm done. Shut it down. See you in 7 days. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network. but you know they were all still true. See you next week.